excited to talk about a thing we got coming up.
I'm excited because it's going to be an opportunity for us to interact with our audience in a way never done before.
Four in the history of how I see it. What we want to celebrate is 2 years.
Two years
of How I See It. Which, if you do the math, it's not very much after 100 episodes. It's a similar celebration, except bigger, because it's 2 years. So yeah, we're going to do a Facebook Live or Instagram Live. I haven't decided yet. I don't know. I think you can do both at the same time, actually.
Okay. When are we going to do that?
February 28th.
February 28th.
7 p.m.
7 o'clock on February 28th.
So mark your calendars, because we'd love to have you join us. There'll be an opportunity for Q&A. Love to hear your questions. We might even be putting out some questions in the next couple of weeks to be thinking about answering.
Sure.
During the session, like, what was your least favorite podcast episode? I'd love to hear that.
Yeah.
A little bit of ribbing was good for us. So bring your questions, bring your answers. Oh, make sure you bring a dad joke. That's your entrance fee.
Just make sure you show up, because it wouldn't be fun to do live without some responses.
It wouldn't be fun to be live if it's dead.
Yes, exactly.
February 28th.
7 p.m.
7 p.m. How I See It Live.
Live. Coming to you. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
I couldn't hear myself for a moment. Made me think whether I was... Thank you. Not sure what I did, but... Thank you, Justin.
You passed 100 episodes.
Yes.
Good job.
Nice job.
You too.
Well, hey, happy to be here. Happy to be here.
Yes. That was fun getting 100 released and getting some feedback from people and some like nice words. So thank you all for being nice.
No doubt. Yeah. And if you needed to be something other than that, we would try not to be offended.
It'd be hard, but we'd try. No offense, but we'd try.
None taken. So how are you, sir?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm good. How about you?
You said you were a little sore earlier. You limbering up?
Yeah, I feel a little bit better.
There you go.
Just when you wake up.
Yeah. You get your stretching in one way or the other. Mm-hmm. As you move, you kind of get your limberness.
Mark was chiding me about my lack of stretching, which is fully warranted.
I was probably chiding you more about the aging process is undeniable.
It's the combination, like as you age.
It's more of a voice of experience in that aspect of how important it is. But
Mark's very good at stretching.
Yeah.
You got a good little routine.
I try to. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's only because I'm compensating for years of misuse where my body is concerned. It's a consequence.
Right. So I haven't got to that consequence yet.
Well, I'm trying to help you avoid certain consequences.
I remember one time I think you were saying you try to always kneel down to put your shoes on. Like stay standing.
No, I stand up.
Stand up. Yeah. Stay standing so that you can stay limber.
Exactly.
I think about that every time I put my socks and shoes. I'm just like, nope, not happening.
There you go. You sit down to put your socks and shoes on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's fair.
Yeah. I got, especially after exercise, like, you know, Frisbee specifically, my lower back is sore.
Okay.
And so that stretch is very like the breath. Kind of stops your breath.
Oh, wow.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So we got to get you some different stretches.
I got
to
be stretching.
That lower back.
Probably should be standing up to put my shoes on. That's probably the stretch I need.
Not sure. I did learn another one the other day.
Okay.
It was, you know the cat pose?
Yes.
Where you arch your back.
Yeah. Yoga.
Like have Megan actually look at your spine. And if there's any flat spots, kind of put your hand, have her put her hand there and then move your hips, adjust your hips or your back in such a way to make that arch, because that flat spot indicates a weakness in that area. So that's just interesting. That's just a little. And typically, you know, another time for another story, but yeah.
Everyone's going to be wondering now, but.
Well, like you say, we'll come back to it.
All right.
We'll come back to it. I can hold that.
Okay.
Yeah. Cat pose.
Cat pose. Yeah. So we are going to talk about being offended.
When was the last time you were offended?
Recent.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like within the past week?
Yeah.
Okay.
I get offended regularly.
Really?
Yeah.
It's something you routinely maintain?
Yeah. I enjoy the experience.
So, okay.
You know. No, I... you know, I talk about this at CR, but one of my struggles is resentment. Like, part of my particular personality is trying to figure out why things are the way they are. And, so it's like a lot of times there'll be an initial offended reaction in my body. You know, that's like, well, that's not my fault. That's someone else's fault. And that bothers me. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So, you know, and I work through it and I don't live offended. And I think that's
but would you say the resentment comes from multiple offenses?
Yeah. For sure. But I'm just saying, yeah, those multiple come from somewhere. Like,
right.
You track them. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
So, yeah. I don't know. I don't know. That's probably a strong statement to say I get offended a lot, but I don't not get offended.
You don't not get offended.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you would,
it's official.
You would say that you are possibly more offended than you are not offended.
No.
Oh, well.
Just, you know, if any given week you say, have you been offended in the last week? There's a good chance I'd say yes.
Okay.
And again, just so we're clear, it's not like there's things happening that deserve to be offended at. It's just how I process.
Yeah.
Things, yeah.
So are there people that tend to offend you more?
All people, especially you.
Yeah. When I start asking questions. But no, I mean,
when I picked this topic, it was not so you could grill me, Mark.
Okay. I'm happy to pull it back in that process.
Well,
but I mean, what,
I just don't want our listeners to know who I'm offended at. They're not sharing these episodes with their friends. So as much as they like them.
What typically, you know, offends you?
You got me started now. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not offended. But you should share these with your friends, because
yes,
we have 40 listeners and that's been that way for a long time.
Okay. But we're thankful for those 40.
We are.
Yeah.
So we keep doing it.
Yeah.
And those 40 are, you know, they are the salt of the earth.
No doubt.
The best 40 people on
there.
There
you go. They are the foundation of how we see it.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we got the ones that matter. Now we just have to get the ones that don't.
Okay. So.
That was a joke.
Yes.
I'm not offended by that.
I wasn't offended.
No, I'm making sure our audience knows.
Oh, okay.
Do you understand that?
I did.
No,
I did.
I'm talking about
you
audience.
Didn't want to offend our audience.
That's right.
I was allowed. Would you like to carry on a further conversation with our audience?
No, I'm good now.
You good?
They seem to understand.
Okay.
All right.
That was the sensation you got?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The vibes. Great.
That's the vibes. Yeah.
All right. Back to your question.
So, yes. What typically offend you? We know people.
Anything that makes me look bad is going to be a trigger for being offended.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha.
And I should fix that statement. Anything that makes me feel like I look bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Can be a trigger for feeling offended.
Okay. So in that process, I'm being mindful that I don't offend you with too many questions. In that process, what do you do with that?
Well, you know, it's the same thing as like a lot of the conversations. You just kind of work through it. You think about it, you process it, figure out if it's worth being offended at. But, you know, being offended is one of those things that you can't necessarily control the impulse, but you have a choice what you do with the impulse.
Sure.
So I try to choose the right thing, which in any given situation can vary, right? It can be like, stop, you're being stupid. That's nothing to be offended at.
Who typically says that to you?
Me. Oh, okay. That's what I'm saying. The processing.
That's part of your process. Yeah, you do that internally.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the answer is just processing it.
Okay.
The simplest answer.
Yeah.
And then you do with it what you need to do. I do with it what I need to do, you know?
Do you have any tools?
Why don't you answer these questions, Mark? Tools, go ahead.
Yeah, do you have any tools that help you with that?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every time we get into these questions about me, they're the same answers. So forgive me if I'm saying the same thing, but CR has taught me a lot about reflection and about the fact that so much of what's wrong in the world is me. Like I'm the problem. It's me. Everywhere I go, it's me, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I've learned to bring that to every struggle. And sometimes as I'm processing, I'm going, yeah, but no, it's not me. It's you, mm-hmm. you know? And mm-hmm. so then that's where resentment comes in. That's where it's harder to work through. But if, and a lot of times this is true, if during the processing I can go, yeah, it's that part of me that just doesn't like that, you know? Mm-hmm. That little clip we just watched, she talked about, what base emotion is it triggering and what sensations.
Yeah.
Process those sensations and I'm able to say, oh, it just makes me feel embarrassed. You know, is very often the sensation that's triggering for me. I'm just embarrassed. And do I need to be embarrassed about this? Well, not really.
Well, embarrassment is actually the emotion you're feeling.
Yeah.
Okay. Where do you tend to feel that? Or how do you tend to feel that? If we're thinking about sensation, what do you feel? This is good self-awareness.
This is a therapy session with Mark. No.
I think it's a beneficial thought when we're thinking about tools. Exactly.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think at times we... So often our emotions are driven by our sensations. That ability that my mouth is dry, my stomach is tight, my stomach is in knots. You know, your stomach can have multiple, you know, sensations, but you can also feel the restriction in your chest. Some people feel tightness. Some people feel.
I think that's it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think so.
That's fair.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Good job.
There you go.
You figured it out.
So now you know when you feel that tightness in your chest, it's likely a certain emotion that's going to precede that, come after that. Mm-hmm. And then being able to recognize, okay, that process, is what do I need or what do I want even? Mm-hmm. And it can come back. And I think so often we talk about it, or we have talked about, you know, the love styles. We talked about the primal questions, you know, a lot of this comes back from that aspect of what do I need? And is that need being met or not met?
Yeah.
And that kind of thing. And I think, you know, when we come into those stressful situations where I'm perceiving there is a stress based on, you know, offenses. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you did a great job of describing how you're trying to grow in yourself and others' awareness. Mm-hmm. Because you're recognizing part of this is just you, but it may not all be you.
Right. Yeah, and a lot of times too, when you peel them apart, when I do, you know, as far as tools go, when I'm able to process it. And well, I think as far as tools go, one of the things too is like try not to do anything about being offended in the moment while your chest is you're feeling the sensations. Cause in my case, when I'm offended, usually it's not something to do something about.
Sure.
That's the truth. So
it's more of a reaction.
Yes. So learning to that sensation is not, you know, something to fight or flight about. Like you probably should, if anything, for me, it's about stepping away or out.
Sure.
Even if it's just mentally from the situation, to say, all right, what's going on here? You know, and processing.
It's a great point. I'm just curious at this point in that awareness, if you will, that I can react, but it's probably not beneficial.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that as you listen, sometimes you realize there was no need to be offended?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
think that's an important part too, when we can recognize, okay, that may have sounded offensive and I may have been offended, but that was not the intention.
Right. Yep. So that's what I was going to say too, is like the work is peeling apart me versus it.
Sure.
And often once I'm able to peel that apart, it becomes clear what needs to be done. And usually it's nothing. It's internal work, right? Letting it go, of accepting, you know, this wasn't how I perceived it, that kind of thing. Every once in a while, you peel it apart, you see that there is some fault on that side. But when you look at the balance, the scale, you're like,
sure,
it's pretty heavy on my side.
Yeah.
And it's
using his hands as a scale, and his left
one
hand
of
is way
high,
in the air, and his right hand's way down by his waist. So,
what about now?
It's the opposite. Nice job. You just
tipped
the scale. Exactly. Yeah. You were no longer offended,
that's
Justin.
Right.
How did that feel?
Felt good. Felt like a weight was lifted off the scale.
Lifted. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, once I remove myself from the scale, and you know, it's like, it changes the things.
No doubt.
Yeah. That analogy falls apart, but yeah.
It's okay.
But yeah, how about you?
How about me what?
All of the questions you asked me. Let's start with, what was the first question? Do you get offended, Mark? I think that was the first question.
I do.
All right. Have you been offended in the last week?
Yes, I have.
All right. Who was it?
It was actually Chris and I. We got in, you know, and I think what will typically offend me is when someone, and I think, you know, it's part of our human nature. This is nothing against Chris. You know, I likely do it to her, but in that process of telling someone what they are, you know, based on an experience, like, you know, that aspect of, if someone's telling me what I think or what I'm doing, you know, that can tend to offend me when I recognize that I can understand how what I did, my action, like say my action made you or Chris or, you know, feel like you weren't important.
Yeah.
You know, in that process, because I made a specific choice to do something different than what you were thinking I would do.
Yeah.
You know, and then that goes so far as to say, well, you did that because, you know, you were trying to tick me off.
Yeah. When there's motive assigned.
Yes. Yeah. That is the, you know, a time when I can feel offended.
Yeah.
And yet, like you're saying, we still have a choice as to whether we become defensive, you know, in that process, or whether we say, okay, yeah, I can respect the fact that my action was viewed that way.
Yeah.
And that wasn't my intention, but I can understand how it can be conceived that way. And I think that's, you know, granted. And I think that adds to the, you know, kind of that third, we were talking about stress management, self and others awareness. And I think that comes back to the third part of that, which would be rupture and repair, you know, because conflict is going to happen. We're going to be offended by people. But at the same time, are we able to take that awareness, you know, from myself and others into what I use in such a way that is actually able to repair? And I think that's so often what happens is in that offense, if I stay there, you know, that's just like staying in the rupture, staying in the conflict. And I think that's why, you know, we tend to avoid conflict for so many people, is because it tends to seem as if it is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, it's conflict is a bad thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think in it, and that I think it is viewed that way because so rarely do we come to the other side of finding the resolution.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and back to the
offense.
Yeah. Back to being offended. I think too, conflict and resolving conflict becomes much harder when we don't have a good filter on our offenses or a good filter between our offenses and conflict.
Sure.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I think it gets very hard to, again, resolve conflict if every time I'm offended, I'm attempting to resolve the conflict.
Sure.
Externally with this person or this situation.
Yep. And
I think
like we talked about, that reactive part that is in between the two, from my perspective, is what makes the resolution very difficult.
Yeah.
You follow me there?
Yeah.
Because if we're just doing it out of reactivity, you know, you said that on purpose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then it's like, well, that's already starting in a, you know, a negative trajectory at that point, or an unhealthy, you know, transition. And I think, you know, that's an important part, but I didn't mean to interrupt, but that reactive part keeps us from finding the conflict resolution sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, in the process of the offense.
Yeah. And I think being offended is reactive. I think that's that's the thing to accept and understand about being offended, is that it is reactive.
Sure.
You're not offended at something that doesn't exist. It's the, therefore you are reacting to something that does exist. And so it is reactive. And the reason I'm saying that is because I think sometimes we think of reactivity as a negative thing. It's not a negative thing. It's just a reality.
Sure.
But turning, you know, allowing the whole process to be reactive is where the problem is. Like, I think as Viktor Frankl says, in between stimulus and response, we have the power to choose our response.
Sure.
Right. And so if we remove that choice and we just act according to the reaction comes and then we react according to that stimulus.
Sure.
Without the choice, we are essentially animals. We're acting on animal instinct, and that's how animals act. But we are not animals. And that's the beauty of being God's creation. He made us in his image. And therefore, you know, the thing that makes us, you know, fight or flight, in actual fight or flight, we do have a choice to examine the thing.
Sure.
And decide, should I fight, should I flight, or is there an alternate solution here?
Sure.
And I think, you know, with being offended, that is going, if you're anything like me and Mark and you get offended in the last week, like that's something you have to learn and practice, right?
Yeah. And I think I really appreciate the way you're setting that up, even in that process, because, you know, so often different people will talk about, you know, lizard brain or, you know, and that, and mammalian brain, you know, and depending on your evolutionary perspective. But, you know, from a design characteristic, I do think, you know, our primary function, that fight or flight mechanism, is designed to keep us alive. It's an important factor. Yeah. And yet we don't always have to react with that.
Yeah.
We can recognize, okay, you know, that, you know, the difference between, okay, a muffler backfire and a gunshot,
right?
You know, we can understand how one might make us react differently, but they can both be so similar. But I think we have the ability to use our other senses and process it and say, okay, no, that car was going by. It's still kind of running rough. It makes perfect sense. That was just a car backfiring. Yeah. You follow me? And I think when our senses are God-given in that aspect, to where that's our warning sign in some ways that God has given us to be able to say, okay, I'm feeling a certain way. I'm feeling something, and likely I'm going to be feeling a certain emotion here shortly.
Yeah.
And I think being able to make that recognition to choose, then I'm better equipped to be able to say, okay, what do I want? And I think, you know, as you alluded to the clip, you know, so often the things that offend us are is just conflict in general, things that are arguable, you know, because most things are, you know, depending on the people you're around, you know, some people just like to argue for the sake of arguing.
Right.
They may not even necessarily agree or not agree.
I don't agree with you, Mark.
Like that.
Exactly.
That's a perfect example. But being able to recognize, like you're saying, I still have the choice to say, okay, am I going to be offended by that? Because something arguable. And I think, you know,
I haven't learned how to make that choice.
Hmm.
I haven't learned how to decide. Well, I guess choose not to be offended.
There are certain things
to be done.
But there are certain things you have learned to choose not to be offended by anymore.
Sure.
Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because part of what initiated our kind of the topic was this aspect of a person wrote in to a person asking about being offended by, is it David?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Michelangelo's David.
Yeah.
Where he's basically naked.
Yeah.
And
his junk is hanging out.
And a person was offended by that.
Yeah.
And it's like
in a classroom
setting. Yes.
Yeah. That was distracting and
And I respected, you know, how the article was set up, you know, in this process. Okay, that is a choice that we have to be offended, but can we remove all art, if you will, all statues, you know, all of the Michelangelo Davids, can we remove them from our
existence? Poof. Could you do a...
Snap your fingers.
What's his name?
Thanos.
Thanos. I mean, even then, you'd only lose half of it. So
there you go.
Still got to figure out how to deal with the other half.
Yes. So yes, certain things will offend us. And yes, you have learned that you don't have to be offended by those things anymore.
Yeah. So I guess my distinction there is that I don't necessarily get to choose the offended feeling. But I do choose whether I, you know, act upon that offense, you know, and I think that's for me a key distinction in the same sense that I don't necessarily get to choose my emotion, but I do get to choose what to do about the emotion.
Sure. And we can establish in some ways your sensation, your emotion, and what you want are some of those non-arguables. In other words, if you're I can't argue the fact that your stomach just dropped and you felt that tenseness in your chest. That's something only you can do. There's no use in me arguing that point.
Yeah.
Let alone what that feeling responded. You know, the response was that feeling, reaction was that feeling. And there's likely something you want. That statue removed.
Mm-hmm.
You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
Those are non-arguables from my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's an important thing to be able to say, okay, that's where you're at.
Yeah.
And likely the fact that, you know, you felt unappreciated, we can bring it back to that primal question, I think, in some ways. You know, those are likely some of the basis for that offense. I felt unimportant. I felt unloved. I felt weak.
Yeah.
Just had to throw that in there.
That's right.
But, you know, in that process, I felt
like any other number besides 7, and therefore I felt weak.
Ah, you go.
Sorry.
I put it out there. I set it up. I put it on a tee ball.
Yeah.
So, coming back to the offense, we can't necessarily remove everything that offends us.
Can I read that quote real quick?
Of course.
Yeah, from that article.
This is your computer screen. So yes.
That's right. Well, it ties into what you're saying. The article was kind of like ask whatever this guy is, your question.
Kind of a Dear Abby of sorts.
Yeah, thank you.
Yep.
And he's like, am I stupid? You know, the guy wrote it. Am I stupid for being offended by this? Or or is it realistic to expect, you know, to ask, be able to ask them to take it down, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. He starts by saying, you're not stupid and you certainly don't have to look at it. You don't even have to look at anything anywhere ever. You could wear blinders or even full on blind yourself surgically. Or you could start a campaign to try and eliminate that particular drawing and every other drawing you don't like from the face of the earth. It would take a lot of work, and in the end, you'd probably end up looking at, thinking about, and obsessing over the image you're trying to get rid of more than ever before. Maybe, eventually, you could figure out a way to never see it, hear about it, or think about it again. Or maybe there's another way. and he goes on to, you know, discuss that.
Yeah.
And then later he says, so do whatever you really feel you should do here, but be warned, it's a slippery slope. There will always be another poster or another experience or another idea that offends you.
Hmm.
And I think, you know, even the fact that Mark gets offended should be proof that you're going to deal with offenses in your life. Like, that's a reality. That's just part of it. And I would say that's a big part of being alive. You know, it's your senses interacting with the world around you. And
sure,
some senses are good, some senses are bad. She kind of boiled it down to, well, I want to say five, but it's like, you know, there's basically good feelings and bad feelings, and the bad feelings tend to push you towards, you know, being offended in some way.
I would argue good and bad, but yes, I hear where you're coming from. Yeah. Comfortable and uncomfortable,
yeah.
Probably.
Thank you. Yeah. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking of the smiley face and the happy face.
Sure.
Some make you have the, you know, a smile that's aiming down, and some make it aiming up.
Sure.
That's a very simplistic. Yeah. Yeah. There are other emotions that don't do either. There's the
surprise
emotion. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We no doubt.
Get some emojis up in here.
Oh.
There's one for every emotion.
So, yeah. And I think the other part I liked about the, and you alluded to it too, you know, that what is it about that thing that tends to offend me? And you mentioned, you know, that, you know, the fact that this person didn't like looking at David's junk, that kind of thing. And I think, you know, even that is a reflection on, you know, what is it about that area, you know, our genitals, if you will, that, you know, makes it offensive or junk or whatever, you know, in a artistic,
yeah,
statuesque type,
yeah,
you know, dynamic. And yeah, I realize, you know, there again, there can be a slippery slope there as well, you know.
Yeah.
But being able to recognize, okay, what is it about that personally offends me, you know, from in that context.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, that's made me think of a rabbit hole.
Well, you're welcome to share the rabbit hole if you desire.
All right. I think about how some people get offended, the most offended by the things that they're secretly struggle with. Right.
So, okay.
Yeah. I can think of examples from, you know, the church where, you know, pastors would really rail against, adultery and that kind of thing. And then, but yet they have a secret, words aren't coming to me, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So in other words, affair.
Yeah. So exactly. It's like, it's almost you're overcompensating.
Sure.
You know, and so I think sometimes our offenses can be that, and I know mine can be that, where I'm offended that you're trying to get attention. That's one that gets to me a lot. Someone's trying to get attention, and I get offended. Like, why are you trying to get attention? It's like, oh, I know why. Because I want the attention you're getting.
Sure.
You know, as an approval addict, it's like, you know, that there's limited scarcity mindset, right? Like, you're getting what I, now I can't get what you're getting, kind of thing.
If you're getting it, I can't.
Yeah. So that's like the bare emotion, you know, like the raw thing that it comes down to a lot of times.
That's the thought.
Yeah, where I have to go, oh, that's just my ugly, give me that, you know, coming out again. Once you kind of assess that on the scale, and I go, oh yeah, a lot of that's just my primal need for, you know, people, you know, that sense of purpose, I guess.
That was your seven, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, I don't know why. I feel like the whole approval thing doesn't tie to the purpose. It ties more to, am I wanted? Which might be my wing.
I got you. Thing.
Yeah. You know, like he talks, like, he doesn't call it a wing.
Like your enneagram.
Yeah, but yeah. He has a term for the side ones.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like secondary question.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. I forget what he calls it.
Kind of like love languages. You can have a primary love language, but you might have a secondary one.
Yeah. You know, that makes perfect sense. But sure. Anyway, back to the thing. About being offended, when I look at the scale and I go, oh, a lot of that's just my ugly primal, I want that. Mm. I take that off the scale and it's left with you saying, you want that. I'm like, well, I don't blame you. So do I. So have at it. You know, it's like the offense just kind of drops off because I can recognize we're in the same boat here.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're striving for this attention. And maybe they are. Maybe they're not. Like that. Yeah. I'm saying worst case scenario, you're getting what I want to get.
Sure.
Well, so,
that's that third part. What do I want? You know,
what do I want? Because
that's typically, I'm offended when I'm not getting what I want. Yours might be attention. Someone else might be control. Someone else might be power. Someone else, you follow me?
Yep.
Those things that I want, and I'm perceiving it in such a way that I'm not getting. I'm not the priority. Mm-hmm. You know, you just did something different and, you know, that made me feel as if I'm no longer important. You follow me? That process. So I'm not getting what I want at that moment. And I think that's an important part of that, being able to recognize my awareness. Because what do I do when I don't get what I want?
Yeah, I roll on the floor and pound my fist.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's what I do. It works every time.
As long as everybody gets tired of that behavior and they say, okay, you get your way, right?
That's right.
Yeah. No one challenges that behavior.
So far, so good.
Nice.
Yeah. You should try it. You asked for tools.
I did. Yeah. I didn't ask for the tools of a 2-year-old, but I asked
for. Oh, that actually is a good segue. I think in CR, we talk about a lot of our behaviors are negative behaviors are a result of learning how to deal with a problem when we were young.
Sure.
An offense when we were young. And we've taken that same behavior into our adulthood.
Stress management.
Yeah. But I'm saying, okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. But we're basically the same habits that we had to deal with it when we were young. Like, I want attention, right? Like, so I'm going to be funny. We bring, you know, you think about Robin Williams. Is a good example of that. Like, he learned to cope with dysfunction in his home by being funny.
Sure.
And if he could make his mom laugh, you know, things were light in the home. And he took that into adulthood. And of course, we all benefited from it from a time. But it also, I think, is partly what took his life in the sense that he was always striving to solve the problems with being funny. And he couldn't solve all of life's problems by being funny.
Yeah. To be able to process the emotion underneath that discomfort of being able to process those deeper, harder emotions, like we're not necessarily positive or negative, but, you know, comfortable or uncomfortable, you know, happiness or, you know, that becomes that comfortable emotion. So I have to produce that in order to minimize my stress over the more uncomfortable ones where my needs might not be met. Mm. And I think that's exactly what, you know, 1 Corinthians 13 talks about towards the end around 11 or 12, where it talks about, you know, when I was a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child, but when I became an adult, I put my childish ways behind me. And I'm willing to recognize we don't always put all we of those childish ways behind us.
Often, we don't, I would say. I think we become adults and we learn so many ways. We become mature, but there are often some primal things we carry with us into adulthood, which are still childish.
Yeah.
And we don't put those things away. And I think that's where therapy can come in handy, right? Like, is to learn.
And even that ability to process.
Right. So whatever way you can get to that, Yeah. So therapy can help you get to that. But
sure.
Also listening to How I See It can help you get to that. So you're welcome. No, you know, programs like Celebrate Recovery or How We Love or, you know.
Sure.
Anything that can make you
journaling.
Kind of stop. Yes.
Journaling.
Yes, journaling. Yes.
Can be a strong.
Yes. Anything that can help you to take in a stimulus and then right between it, do something about it.
Sure.
Anything that can coach you in that is going to be very helpful in helping you put, you know, what is
self
that?
And the others' verse. Awareness as well.
Yeah,
put that as far as
things.
Putting my childish ways behind
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
That anything like that's going to help you get to that point.
Because I think what happens is, and I think your example of throwing a temper tantrum and laying on the floor.
Yeah.
You know, we all have these cycles and patterns that have been developed over time, you know? So what do I typically do when I don't get that thing
yeah.
that I want or need?
Yeah.
You know, that's what that mm-hmm. becomes. And yeah. so being able to say, no, I'm okay. Mm. You know, when I don't get what I want.
Yeah.
And yet I can still communicate that mm. I was disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean I'm disappointed in you. That just means I'm disappointed in that circumstance.
Yeah.
And therefore, I did that thing mm. that sometimes I do.
Yeah, that's good. I think one of the things I've really learned over the last several years, partly a lot from you, also a little bit from therapy, and also a little bit from CR and stuff like that, but really more from a therapeutic perspective, is prior to kind of understanding a lot of these things, my thought was anxiety, stress, anger, whatever, mm-hmm. bad.
I hear
and
you.
You've corrected that in this conversation many times, which I just want to call out because it's so valuable to say it's not about bad or good. It's about comfort or
yeah.
discomfort. And so what I've had to learn, and I'm slowly learning, and it's still hard, is mm-hmm. that you're not going to eradicate the discomfortable moments from your life. There's
sure.
those things that offend you. You're not, I mean, like that, like he was joking about, you can't remove every offensive image from the
yeah.
earth or whatever. You cannot get to a place of enlightenment, in my estimation.
Sure.
Maybe some monks have figured it out. I don't know, because, you know, they're very... We should talk
mindful.
About meditation at some
yeah.
point, because there is some power in that. And I don't want to take away from that. And there's room there to grow in terms of how much offends you and like how many
sure.
of those stimuluses impact you in a negative way. However...
That would be that awareness of where my sensation is.
Yeah.
That would be the beginning of that part. But yes, however... Sorry, did I break your chain of thought? I apologize.
So my whole idea was you could lessen, minimize, almost eradicate kind mm. of those negative impulses
mm-hmm.
and you become this enlightened individual who doesn't get, you know, bothered, essentially. Mm. And I think what I've learned is that a lot of those things that bother you
mm-hmm.
are neutral. They can be helpful. They can be mm-hmm. healthy. They, you know, anxiety can
healthy.
Teach you, mm-hmm. right, that you're, it can teach you many things. It can
sure.
teach you you're in danger, for instance. That's a good thing. Like,
sure.
if you feel anxiety about walking down a certain alley at night or whatever,
yeah.
that's probably a good, healthy emotion to feel in the sense that you should be alert. You should be, you know.
Yeah, I think that's a great awareness. And I think, you know, that's the beauty of seeing emotions as emotions, because I would dare say, you know, it's perfectly healthy to feel sad when I lose a loved one.
Yeah.
You follow me?
Yeah.
And if I'm just fighting that because I don't like feeling sad,
mm-hmm.
then I'm, exhibiting or I'm, you know, mm-hmm. I'm dealing with a lot of extra stress
mm-hmm.
about the fact that I'm feeling sad
mm.
when if I'm just able to be in that moment
yeah.
and recognized I've lost someone who's mm-hmm. important to me
mm-hmm.
and my ability to feel sad is just a testimony to the depth of that relationship.
Yeah.
That's a perfectly healthy thing to yeah. do.
And you should. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's true of all negative or uncomfortable emotions, if
sure.
there is a place for them that's healthy.
Yes.
Anger also.
Sure.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. I think, kind of going back to what I was saying, the thing that I'm learning myself,
yeah,
and that's been a little bit hard to accept, but also good to accept, is that there are certain thorns of the flesh, like Paul said, where it's like, you know, I really want those things gone from. I don't want to be offended when someone's trying to get attention and I want the attention. Like, that to me is so primal, right?
I hear you.
And almost childish, feels very childish to me. And I want that to stop being a thing.
Sure.
Like, come on.
Just, sure.
Come on. That's silly, you know? Yeah. And yet, I haven't been able to figure out how to prevent that initial thing, like in certain circles. And often too, it's not just that singular thing. It's a combination of events or a combination of things that have put me in a certain point where I'm not at my best, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Does that, yeah.
It makes perfect sense. And here's another little tidbit, if I may. You know, what you describe as childish.
Yeah.
I would flip that to a certain degree. And look at it in the aspect of, okay, I'm feeling childish. How can I make it childlike? In other words, when I think we're able to look at it from a childlike, I think Jesus encourages a childlike faith. You follow me?
Yeah.
And I think when we're able to look at it in
so do that for me with this particular with
your example,
thing. Yeah, use that.
Your example to look at it in a childlike manner would be almost to be able to say, okay, that person likes to be affirmed just like I do. So we're all childlike in this sense of being able to say, oh, it's that person's turn. That's cool. They got the turn. And, you know, I mean, that in some ways flips the script. Yes.
Yeah.
In such describes a way that
some
that
innocence to it
flips the scale.
Yeah.
In other words, to be able to say, yeah, we all desire affirmation. And that person got their turn. My turn's coming someday. Yeah. I don't know when it is, but I hope the people around me are happy when it's my turn. That they're not, you know, well, what did he do? You know, that childish perspective, that the jealousy, you know, crazy jealousy, I'll call it. But, you know, that aspect to where I think, you know, if we can kind of wrestle with that childish versus childlike. And I think, you know, so often, you know, those, I think children do it better.
Yeah.
You know, because I think as we age, we find more things to be offended about. Whereas, you know, children, healthy children, you know, they have their needs met. They rely on healthy parents, you know, in such a way that says, oh, wow, that's cool. You know, because we can almost see that childlikeness that has the ability to celebrate, you know, the little things that isn't easily offended.
Yeah.
You know, because there's this security in that process. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Good stuff.
Makes sense.
It does. Yeah.
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 And I think, you know, our, even as adults, our ability to play is sometimes, you know, like even Frisbee, you know, we're offended when I didn't necessarily get my way or I thought somebody should do something differently. But yet, if I'm able to flip that in such a way that says, okay, no, that first person, and by the way, I fell on you on Sunday, and I do apologize for falling on you on Sunday.
It was like a feather, Mike.
Well, I'm glad, but I'm not offended by that. You just call me a lightweight, but that's okay. But yes,
I wouldn't have assumed that.
It was funny because Leanne drew it to my attention. It's like, you know, you just fell on him. You didn't even put your hands down. It's like, I didn't want to put my hands down because it was like, where would I put them? You know, if I put them right on his face and I put my weight, it's like, you know, so it's like just lay out and the whole body goes down. And so, yeah, I do apologize.
Maybe that's why I'm sorry this morning. That's a good point.
It just caught up with you three days later, give or take.
After the next Frisbee session.
Yeah. It wasn't really last night. It was it was residual from Sunday, but I do apologize for
laying it on. I'm not offended.
Okay.
But that is a good segue. Frisbee can be, you can get offended or you can recognize this is a game.
Yes. You know?
Which actually I'm trying to, let's see if I can stretch that analogy. I think we can make that work in life too. Like, let's make it less serious and say, remember, this is all just a game in a sense of this is an opportunity to learn and grow and have fun. This is serious and this is real life. And this is, and it's like, especially when you realize that, like, there's, when you can accept that there's a God of the universe, he's your higher power, and this whole thing's under his control, and I'm just a character, you know, that gets to play the game.
Sure.
I think sometimes that can help me too, in the sense of, just recognizing that this isn't so serious because he's got this.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
It kind of coming back to that comparison thing of like, they're getting attention, I'm not. It's like, you know, that same idea of like, well, it's his turn, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. On the game board, you know?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
Gotta mute my dings. Sorry about that. If you thought that was your text message, it wasn't. It was mine. But I'm not gonna look at it.
That's okay. Even if you did.
Because Mark would be offended.
No, I wouldn't be offended.
Our listeners would be offended. No.
No.
They wouldn't know. You wouldn't even know.
I would dare say, you brought up technology. And technology, I would consider myself technologically averse.
Offended.
But I'm not sure I'm offended. I'd have to.
All right.
Yeah.
I brought up emojis earlier, and I expected more of a reaction by you. Like a harumph.
Oh, yeah. He,
we just moved on. I said there's an emoji for every emotion. Or something.
Yeah.
And I thought you would take issue with that. But
I realize there are multiple emojis. Where we had a discussion the other day whether the praying hands is actually a high five.
Oh.
So if you...
Yeah.
So if you look
I've never seen it used that way.
You've never seen a high five?
No, I've never seen the praying hands used as a high five.
Ah, well, you look them up. It's if you try to look up one.
No, I'm not saying I don't think anyone ever has ever done it. I'm saying in my experience.
Oh, you've never received a high five?
Not an emoji using form? The praying hands.
Oh, wow.
There's also a fist bump one.
Ah.
So I've gotten that one.
Feel free to send Justin the praying hands a high five for anything he does well, because he likes the attention.
The applause.
The affirmation.
Well, I'll just assume you're praying for me or that you're thankful, because that's the other thing, too. People use it as like a thank you.
Yep.
You know, a thank you or a praying.
Yeah.
That's been my experience, Mark, but I can't argue with your experience. It's inarguable. I've learned that today. High five.
So yes, high five. Nice.
You have to hold it there a second for it to match the emoji.
Yeah. But see,
or is it just frozen?
If it's frozen in time.
Okay.
But so that being said, we hope this has been a helpful opportunity just to recognize that yes, things will offend us.
Yep.
Part of the human equation.
Yep.
And yet what we do about that becomes a choice. And likely there is something that I desire to change, something I want, but yet another person may want that same thing or just a different thing. And that's not always a wrong thing. It's just part of being human. Mm-hmm. So
gotta learn to process it.
What fun we have. And that being said, this is how I see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.